with a fro, round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Girl with the fro, round the outside, round the outside, round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Round the outside. Guess who's back? Back again. Tenfold's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 That is back. Da 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 da. It is a new year and a new desire to put out and create better content. Hi, this is Felicia Baxter recording from my new spot here on Forest Avenue in my creative, I think it's CQM, creative quality mailing, because I want 1 million downloads and 1 million listeners. I haven't really rebooted it that much. I'm still going to be talking about COVID shenanigans, what I'm watching, what I'm eating, and my own stuff, and not necessarily in that order. So I hope you will enjoy this episode as much as I have enjoyed creating it, and have a great day.
And it's got everyone talking. What's spreading quick and makes you sick, infecting everyone? It's worldwide and many have died, but so much fun. You start to cough, then pass it off, and no one knows what to do but wash and clean and quarantine for Wuhan flu. Corona, corona, the virus infecting us all. Corona, corona, you cough and shake, then fall. There is...
So that's how I'm going to start this next section, the coronavirus, shenanigans and just tomfoolery, and the cause of premature rest. I, for whatever reason, thought I had recorded something else during the week, and I think I got it mixed up with one of my postings, which I'm also going to do. This past week, I, in a quest to get to 60 straight days of posting on my blog, I've started doing theme music piece like all last week. So all I have to do is just basically sit down and run it. And this particular section, COVID shenanigans and rest in power, I read in the paper today. It's Sunday, and one of my favorite all-time pastimes is reading the New York Times. There's not a whole bunch I was really interested in. The Modern Love was all right. This woman was upset that her mother wasn't as overly involved and taking some of the pressure off of her in a relationship, as well as this 25-year-old newscaster or sportscaster is getting married to someone that's 20 years her senior. And I start going down the rabbit hole of COVID has changed so much of the world, even with the paper. Before the pandemic, I used to not only read the style section, but also I would read the travel section. There is no travel section anymore. It switched to at home, and now that section has been discontinued. And I don't know. And then we have the spike with the Delta. And then we had another spike with infection with Omicron that's sending people or making either sending people back inside and hibernating or just extending the hibernation. I'm getting weirder and weirder. And I know it's not, from a mental health standpoint, it's not good for me to be
in this type of isolation, but it's so easy for me to be in isolation. I'm discovering all of these movies that I didn't even know exist. And now they're saying that it looks like the Omicron spike is starting to relent. But what I do know is COVID has taken a lot out of the world. I don't think it's ever going to go away. Not at this point. If people are still doing some stupid stuff, they still walking around like we're not in the middle of a pandemic. And then they won't get the shot. They won't get boosted. I have a feeling they're going to call for another booster in about another 3 to 6 months after you've gotten that initial booster. And then you start thinking of what am I getting boosted for if I won't go around people? That in itself is the crazy thing, because I'm doing all I can not to get it. And I'll take the shot, but it doesn't mean I'm going to go around people. Let's just think on that and reflect on that. That's the crazy thing. I'm doing everything I can to make my home safe. I'm clearing out stuff, moving around stuff, still unpacking, because I did have several hundreds of boxes that I did bring to Tennessee. But I'm just thinking, reflecting on, I'm doing everything that I can to be comfortable in my own home and doing what I need to not to get the disease. But it really doesn't change my mind about not going into out of hibernation. I don't even know if I want to travel. I don't want to know. I'm going through a baggage claim with the dog. I will need to basically make more money, because if I do travel anywhere, the idea of going flying commercial is just so repulsive to me that I'm going to start looking into Delta Black. If I could get a hop a ride on somebody's private jet or have some type of hybrid sitch, because I really don't want to be in the masses like that. Also, I'm still really scared, even though I am protected from Delta. There's like other things that could take me out. I've been in physical therapy for my knee. I'm always concerned that, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack, or oh my God, I'm throwing a clot. And that could be far from the truth, but it doesn't help that I'm also this size. So, but then I have to do what I need to do to be able to control the pain, to be able to walk and to do those types of things. Also, I'm preparing. I want to go on a screenwriting sabbatical because I want to tighten up one of my screenplays. I don't know. I think 2022 is going to be my year. I'm looking forward to having my work option, and I'm going to have to be at a fighting weight. I'm going to have to be healthier to be able to do the travel and to do what I need to do to pitch it and to get it produced. So I'm looking forward to all of that. But this COVID bullcrap is not making that easier. It's still taking away people that you didn't know you were going to miss until they're actually gone. Andrew Talley has passed away. He, bigger than life, really was 6'5". As towards the end of his life, he was only 72 years old. He ended up catching COVID and then having a heart attack, which the high inflammatory inflammation that results from COVID is probably why he absolutely succumbed to it. It didn't make it easier, his extra weight, because I'm sure he may have had type 2 diabetes as well as peripheral artery disease anyways. And COVID did not help that. Also, Meat Loaf passed away. They say complications due to COVID. also one of the last Tuskegee Airmen passed away. He was a captain in the Red Tails, but he died peacefully with a smile on his face and his right hand on his heart, according to his daughter. I mention all of those things to say is time is short and COVID is hunting us, and we got to do what we need to do to either stay healthy and to do what we need to do not to get COVID or don't have the comorbidities that make us more susceptible to COVID is the bottom line. And I don't have any other real shenanigans to report outside of that. And I think that's enough to live. Like, I'll do what I have to do not to get COVID, but that doesn't mean I want to be around people. And finding the balance, because you can't remain in isolation and not get weird, because then you don't know how to act when you do have to go around people. So there's so many things that are in the plans that is making me think that I'm going to have to be more active. I'm going to have to be better because I'm going to be required to do a whole bunch of moving and shaking. So there you go. Also, just in case, just y'all take care of yourself. Again, do what you do to have to protect yourself from this bastard of a disease. And take care of those other diseases, because people are still getting sick from other things. That will make you susceptible to the disease. That is the entire point of this section. Instead of just getting angry about stupid things that people say, for example, the Republican Party would rather we think that they're not racist and they're not bigots. They point to the fact of that idiot from South Carolina, Tim Scott, I think his name is, as the token black Republican, and Herman Cain, but they praise Martin Luther King in one breath, and then out the side of their mouth, they say some stupid racist crap about African Americans. What did that dumb ass say? He made me so mad that I knew I had to start recording parts of the podcast, because the matter I got, and I know the more that I would talk, and I keep getting ideas for talking points from these fools because they keep saying dumb stuff. But what do you mean African-American voters are voting in just as high percentage as Americans? Why is there a separation? We are voting. Why can't you just say we vote just as much as everybody else? But you are really making it even in spite of some really difficult teas that y'all are throwing up, removing drop boxes, taking away mail-in voting. Y'all can't be slick, and you can't make the distinction that makes it sound like that we are African Americans by name. And you're making a distinction or a juxtaposition that maybe he left out a preposition or something. But the way I take that is he is willfully obtuse, and he's willfully thinking that we don't, these people are not racist, that you want everybody, you wish, and you make the distinction between your light skin or white skin and my dark skin as us not being Americans. What exactly does that mean? And why can't you see how offensive that is? And are you just that willfully obtuse and say this racist crap? It makes me think that there is nothing that you can do. You cannot whitewash away your racism because it keeps popping up. That's why we got to have these critical conversations, and that's why we got to talk about critical race theory, and that's why they won't let us talk about it, because it will make people or numb people to this willfully obtuseness and this bigoted language, because if we don't call you, if we don't know what it stems from, we can't call you out on your dumbness. So that is the key to why I have to listen to, and I will continue to read things like books like the 1619 Project, as well as I think this book that I had saw earlier in the week on CBS News. I have a feeling this is on its way because I did add it to the ban list. And why the Moms of Liberty are going to want to keep you unwoke and obtuse as they are, because I think when you don't have the knowledge or you feign ignorance, you keep thinking and saying dumb stuff, and you don't think that people are going to realize how callous and stupid and just absolute ignorant that a lot of these things that the people absolutely say and do. Again, if you can keep a vast majority of people completely dumb, then you have no problem. Then you have no problem how you keep people enslaved or down, because when you don't know, you can't grow. But if you do know, you can point out other people's BS, and you can have a legitimate conversation and be productive, because you can't say those things. Because when you say that, when the reason why we have to have the vote and reason why we can't let them roll back that is because they're okay double talking. They're okay with people not having the truth. But I was pointing to Kimberly Jones's new book. The hardcover version of it is still available on my website, Chatterbooks. And it says How We Can Win, Race, History, and the Changing Money Game That's Rigged. That is going to end up, because it's going to call people out on their BS. And she wants, and she made a very good point on the news, how it's okay to, why the discrepancy in the earnings in an average black family in Atlanta City Metro, $17,000 a year. The average for a white family is just $100,000. Is 4 or 5, 10 times that at $100,000 a year. And you can be mediocre and have and exist and survive in Atlanta if you're white, but you can't live on 17 grand a year in Atlanta if you're black. And that's where we are. Make up a large portion of the population, but we have the lowest earnings income. They don't want us to know this. Also, the 1619 Project kicks so much truth because it's from a perspective from the oppressed. I knew of things like the Nat Turner revolt and how that, but it wasn't the only revolt that was just as bloody or wasn't put down so brutally. How sugar wants the labor-intensive crop, wants a commodity of the super wealthy, and how it fueled the slave trade and increased slavery in the New World. just these economics, it required to harvest cotton and rice and sugar require a hardy and resilient workforce, but you had to annihilate any individuality or self. You detach them from their history and from their land. You basically torture individualism out of there. But by our resiliency in our captivity, we used the scraps of or the throwaway, and we created another culture based on the oppression. And every time it seems like you make amend or you make gains, they just basically change the rules on you. They did it in the beginning with redlining and annihilation of savings and loans that black people absolutely, we actually owned our own banks at one point. And basically try to erase you from the beginnings of the state. And even the year 1619, black people were here a whole year before the Mayflower even landed. So I tell you this. Anytime you hear about people changing the rules with gerrymandering and redlining and voter suppression, that just basically tells me that they're trying to rewrite the rules even to their own detriment because of the threat of the power that we are becoming more knowledgeable about our own either self-worth and our own outside of everything. You basically come bring out the hardest rules and then you change the rules to make them even harder. But all that is going to do is increase our ability to basically continue to exercise the rights of that everybody else has. That's all it's going to do. We're just going to come up stronger. So what I say is you can, okay, change the rules. Try to suppress knowledge. But it's not going to mean that I'm going to stop seeking knowledge. That's going to even make me, because I'm stubborn. That is only going to want to make me learn more so I'll know when you to. And because I'm going to want to know why. Why you want to suppress all these books? Why? Why you want to make it so hard that you are risking even your own constituency not to vote? The why of it is because the demographics are changing and people are vastly realizing the importance of voting. You can try to change the rules all you want to. Redistrict. Redraw the lines. And at the same time, take away people's ability to do what is their God-given right. We had people voting when they had to pay a poll tax, and that made them even work even harder. And it also increased when they had these reading. It made them even want to become more knowledgeable, even though they were getting the books were outdated or they were getting crappy books. And if you gave the same reading, even though if they had to do it for their own population is even more illiterate. The more you try to suppress the truth, the people you're trying to suppress the truth of are going to work harder to even get more knowledge. And that is going to, and it's just a horrible cycle. But go ahead. Keep trying it. All I can do is make sure I seek the knowledge, I seek the truth, and I use discernment. That's all I can do. And I also encourage anybody else, when you get somebody that wants to suppress something, you got to ask yourself why and be nosy and do your own investigation. And then when you figure it out, you can say, oh, okay, now I get why they don't want me to read this book, because it calls you out on your BS. Of course. Of course.
That's Less Group Tonight by Earth, Wind, and Fire. All the music that you'll hear on the podcast is available for immediate streaming on iTunes, My Quarks Bar, or wherever. My Quarks Bar playlist, or wherever you listen to music. And in particular, I chose this is because all last week I did a post on my blog, and then this is going to become needed in a way for me to celebrate my creative output on my podcast, because this past week, I am well on my way to 60 days of posting on WordPress, and I'm also, and it's like a daily thing, and my stats are up, my views are up. But I did a challenge last week where I basically asked the listening audience to post, or reading audience, because it's a blog, anyways, to post their theme song for the day. And did I choose Less Group Tonight? Well, even if I didn't, I actually added this instrumental to it, on my playlist, Quarks Bar playlist. And I also added little quips of things that I'm going to share with you on this section of Ten Fro's blog post. Getting up and stretching my back and stretching my hamstrings before marching in place for 5 minutes, which I actually absolutely did not do. But my mind perks up and allows me to settle down. I can focus on my thoughts to produce words of encouragement and kindness. I choose to start my day on a positive note and keep it going throughout the day. It's easier when you start out being kind and happy. It's easier to absolutely keep it going. Choose happiness and joy, repeat. Choose your theme music that expresses the joy. Today for me, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, that was like the first song I added. And then the next day, I followed it up with The Melanated Nerd is walking it out and shaking it like a Polaroid picture. No, not having a seizure. That's funny. Today's supposed to be the warmest in 2 weeks. If I don't do any more than circle the pool and getting crunk to unk, well, at as much as a chubby middle-aged chick with a bad knee can. But I also will shake it like a Polaroid picture. But if I am still down, dial 911 because that is a seizure and not breakdancing. You have to give your neighbors something to talk about. That was cute too. And I'm realizing that 71 people absolutely thought the same thing. How cool is that? The Melanated Nerd is changing clothes and dusting my shoulders off. That was a Jay-Z kind of day, if you did not get the reference. Black Album. I am enjoying the moment, but also reminded of where I was and what I was doing when I first heard these songs in 2003. I remember this was my last year of active duty in the Air Force, and I was indeed... taking off the uniform and transitioning truly back to civilian life. I was scared because it was the beginning of traveling for work and realizing I would not be in the sand hills long term. I was just getting started. You have to give your neighbor something to talk about. Just saying. Also, the Melanated Nerd is in Boogie Wonderland. And there are things I will do for love, except that. This is an homage to Meatloaf, who passed away from complications. Of COVID, do anything for love. Instrumental. Let's see. It's kind of cool trying to figure out how to type fast. Get the search, and if you have a computer, that is powerful enough to be able to return while you're absolutely playing your podcast. I'm gonna have to turn that down a little bit. And as stated previously, all of the songs that you hear throughout the podcast are available for immediate listening and streaming and download on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. But when I posted this particular post on the 21st, we had just gotten the news, or we had just been notified, the world had been notified of the untimely passing of Meat Loaf. And also, a couple of days prior to that, was the untimely death of ALT, Andre Talley of Vogue fame. But I also, and I listen to all kinds of music, and I also placed on Quartz Bar not just Meat Loaf song, I'd Do Anything for Love and Bat Outta Hell, but I also downloaded some Earth, Wind, and Fire. Two, in particular, it was Boogie Wonderland. And as a kid, I remember being told by a Pentecostal so-called missionary or some deacon, I can't remember who it was, warning that Earth, Wind, and Fire were devil worshipers and sang godless music. But I also now, as an adult, understood that people speak ill of what they don't understand. If you absolutely have the self-control, this music can take you to elevated heights of guilt-free happiness. And you don't need weed or any drug to do it, because narcotics make me nauseous. They were half correct, and they just missed, but they kind of missed the point of the uplifting nature and power of all music. In this particular blog post, I had spoke about the untimely death of Meat Loaf, and I also reflected on the death of Andre Talley. And I'm realizing when people don't really want to hear about someone else's happiness, not so much, or they don't necessarily want to hear, maybe don't want to hear reflections on COVID, because I'm looking at recent views and what people, the type of post that I absolutely play. They don't want to hear that I get the opportunity to talk about how Dakota Fanning gave a tour de force depiction of an autistic woman in Please Stand By, or John Wall still finding missing people. Not missing people, but people that are on the, or how many people are absolutely on the loose after murdering their whole family. Or that I love R&B and I also watch Drag Race, but at the same time I can reflect positively about opera or classical music. It's like people don't want to hear that I am a Renaissance woman and I like a whole bunch of different things. And I'm going to talk about it, because that's the whole point of my podcast, to talk. I write about stuff that I'm interested in on my blog, and I also talk about things that I'm interested in on my blog, on my podcast. So I'm somewhere, if you're somewhere in between, you're not going to get what I'm absolutely putting down. And that is how you are going to miss out on any of my creative endeavors, because you're not going to get it. But I get it, and that's all that matters. And this is a way I keep myself entertained. If I have to be on extended lockdown due to COVID, or just because I don't want to be around a whole bunch of people, so be it. But it's all by choice. And you definitely are not going to understand or get this next section or part five, the true part five of my online short story, Black Woman Down, because that's the what my project that is getting some coverage on Coverfly, which is awesome. Never would have thought it. But this is my online short story, Four Bridges Over Chattanooga. Crypto hooray ho. And I have, and it's like a fantasy. What was I gonna call this? Oh, I can't remember. But this is basically a celebration of, again, my own creative outlet. If I'm not able to buy the rights to be able to read a book, etc., like on Reading Rainbow, then I'm not going to risk having my podcast pull because I'm reading a copyrighted material. So I'm going to create my own material and then copyright it myself. And that's therefore Four Bridges Over Chattanooga. I also, this past week, created my second query letter. The first one was to my first self-published book, Not My Family. But I also created a query letter and sent it to one of the agencies in Atlanta. And they actually got back to me, but she also said that there was something that they would not be interested in. And I think I was absolutely thankful for that, because I don't think in its current form that I'm finished with Four Bridges. But I also think that this agency would not be the best agency for me, because I would want somebody that not only would believe in me and the material, but actually could see the potential for the material. Who knows? And I'm glad, because it's not finished. And they've said when you send out query letters, you got to have a completed manuscript. Well, okay. As I said, it's not completed. Neither is my listener's manuscript completed. It's kind of janky. It's like 40,000 words of gibberish, I think, anyways. I would love to write on the level of Octavia Butler, the only other Black sci-fi writer that I know of. But I want to read other people that are doing mid-level fiction about middle-aged Black people in the South. I don't want it to be one of those stories about struggle. I want it to be the things that I'm interested in. And that's why I have a whole section on cryptocurrency. I do have a character by the name of K-Rod that is a hustler from Memphis that absolutely helps the family to sponsor Abel's, who is the cousin of one of the main characters, Jackie Bird, that helps him sponsor an extravaganza men's ready-for-wear in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he was a drug dealer that got shot a couple of times and went off grid. And at one point said he used the black web to basically boost cryptocurrency, which I think is apropos. You know, I got that idea from, because I watched Black Market with Michael K. Williams, how the hustle and game, the scams, how he was in or was a part of that world, except he ain't dead. This particular character, K-Rod, is an amalgamation of different people that I absolutely watch on Black Market. And I'm going to have to rewrite it again, because, or rewatch Black Market again, because I think I can glean some other hustles and scams and make them a part of maybe part six of the Four Bridges. I basically said that Four Bridges is more of a short story, but it's vastly becoming a whole full-length novel at its best. I still wonder what it would feel, or when I'm going to feel that I'm absolutely finished with it, but I'm not going to feel the need to add more and convoluted dialogue or other twists and turns. I think I'm at the end of Crypto Hooray, Hey and Ho. I just have to edit it and add it to the original manuscript. I think having another celebration, like, for example, they reach another $1 million mark as far as a financial standing in the community. And that's where I think I'm going to probably have to take it when they get the recognition and the start of a kind of like a creative collaborative where they use the creative energy of that community and advertise the next big tech show on the level of, Macworld and the Consumers Mart, but they absolutely have it in the Chattanooga Convention Center. Okay, so I'm going to have to add that to the end of it. Chattanooga Consumer Extravaganza. They will have like a kind of like a old-fashioned hacker challenge. Talk about online security as well as crypto security. And have the newest in technology and what's coming down the line as far as virtual reality, the new VR games, and Zoom on crack. And a lot of the technology is absolutely being curated and created right in the Tennessee Valley. I think that would be kind of cool. And it kind of goes in or links up with my sci-fi book because the characters there build a supercomputer and build their own interstellar telescope in the mountain, which is right on point because the James Webb space telescope was successfully launched and it's going to start probably in the next week or so if they haven't already launched it. Is in space, and they're going to be, I don't know if they're going to be decommissioning Hubble or when that's going to take place, but I'll be looking that up and probably talking about it in the next couple of weeks as soon as it pulls, if I can pull that off. But again, this is a way for me to create content that showcases Black and brown people doing amazing things, and not always on the struggle, but they have some drama in their life, but they're doing positive things. And why doesn't anybody want positive creative output about Black and brown people? Why not? Why does it have to be hauntings and paranormal and all this other crap? And it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic either. It can be really tech nerdy crap and showcase us and still be cool. I'm just saying. So here is a reading from part five of Four Bridges, Crypto Hooray, Jackie's perspective. I open up the door at the top of the basement stairs, turning on the lights just inside. I start down the first creaky stairs, pausing for just a moment. This basement runs the length of the main house, the oldest part of the home. Original part of the basement for the old part, original house, is still intact, but the rest had to be dug out during reconstruction. The walls were lined with reclaimed wood from the raised structure. Doubly fortified, and what seems to be hundreds of plastic labeled bins of ephemera and pieces of different parts of our lives, like a real life and the largest time capsule on Earth. Abel says, yo, the basement of people really hooked us up. And I say, it's so weird. We are an entire floor below the Earth and it feels so open and I'm not claustrophobic. Abel says, well, y'all have ground level windows running the length of the basement, sealed to not let in water or dampen, but covered to keep the UV light out. Genius. I say, I try. What exactly are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for some patterns from school and a couple of sketches I modified. Why reinvent the wheel when you already created that bitch? And it's so funny because that's exactly what RuPaul said when his one of the, I think it was Jambalaya, said she had an issue with design. She's not really a designer. And RuPaul was like, well, if you're not a designer, then just copy. He said, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's already there. Something like that. My cousin was in high school and creating ready-to-wear lines from old Butterworth and simple patterns. Abel, this is scarily OCD organized. J Boogie, you really need new hobbies. And then I'm thinking, this is not all me. When I wasn't going on some stupid online date, Big Mama was down here sorting and organizing every weekend. We would buy out all the plastic bins from Super Walmart, throw away, sort, throw away. We have years of text documents and receipts if we ever get audited. And I just literally did my own sort, and I'm still not done. No, we could never think that we would make up any of our financial data. We're not like those stupid chumps. We got every record of every transaction because you know they're looking at our shit hard because they can't figure out why all these black people from Chattanooga got all this scratch. Abel starts on one side of the basement, and I start on the other. We can walk shoulder to shoulder with multiple rows of bins stacked 5 to 6 feet high, all clearly labeled, all clear and see-through. All of our family's prizes, recommendations, trophies that were now on display upstairs were carefully organized and sorted in place in their respective bins. I knew my grandmother was proud not only of my achievements, but also of Abel's. So I knew his patterns were down here somewhere. In short order, I find the programs from school plays as well as from Broadway and events off Broadway from Atlanta, even in Montgomery, Alabama, because Big Mom made it a point to take us for yearly shopping trips to the big cities, initially just to Atlanta. But then when she really hit her stride in the success in her businesses, we would take a yearly trip to Atlanta from 2000 to the present until the pandemic hit. Abel asks, who is To Go Boldly 66 and Watson and the Belt Sleuth Utes? Man, I hadn't heard those scream names for years. This was the early days of chat rooms and live play on video games. We're all in their infancy. All of us were math nerds, and we lived for a challenge. Back in 2003 or 2004, my math calculus group entered an early coding competition, and we collaborated with other math nerds in Thailand and Korea. Watson, aka Ken Young from Korea by way of Malaysia, introduced us to blockchain in a theory of different kind of currency. This competition was cool because we could create code and lock in the subsequent chapter, which would be a souped up version of the previous chapter of online games. And we did this for 4 years or so, with each chapter becoming more complex and brilliantly executed than the previous one. I continue sorting through the papers, smiling as I come up to the prizes. Abel gets real still, and he says, "Has anyone licensed that game?" I say, "Oh yeah." Watson and Craig from Creative Activities formed a company back in 2009 and gave all of us shares, paid us initially in shares as we expanded the game. Abel pulls up his phone and taps and shows me the graphics of the company that I am a silent partner in and turns it to face me and says, "Is this you?" And I says, "Oh yeah, that's the company logo. Hell, see here, I'm on the founding board of directors. And most of the original crew is still listed there, except for a couple of names." Abel looks at me as if I have grown two heads. "What exactly does that mean?" Then I say, "Well, I vote my proxy every year. We have guaranteed preferred shares at the formation of the company in 2009. And they paid us for participation in shares for a number of years. And then in 2013, when the company went public, we get royalties every month." "So how many stocks are you holding?" At last count, it's showing like 23,000 shares. Abel is still looking at me. And he says, "You mean you have over 15 million USD in stock in this company, for real? So I'm related to a nerd baller." And I say, "Oh yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that in a while." He looks at me with exasperation and we continue sorting. And we come across other bins with several encased jump drives with a coin with a letter B stamped apart with the dollar sign slashes through them. And Abel says, "What are these?" Holding up one of the sleeves with three of the B's in them. And then I said, "Oh yeah." That's when I was remembered from a while ago as we were creating each and every chapter. These were our, and that's Ethel barking. Hold on for a minute. Ethel, shut up. We won. We got paid with something called blockchain. And that's what we were absolutely using. We were contributing code for this technology. So y'all got paid in Bitcoin? And I say, "Yeah." And Abel says, "Not in a fraction. These are full Bitcoins." And I say, "Yeah." Abel sits down and says, "How many do you think you won?" And I say, "Well, out of the 100 challenges, we won 83 times. So for a total of 250 Bitcoins." Abel then holds his head and he says, "They closed at $47,000 per Bitcoin on Friday." And I think, "Oh yeah. So 11 million, another 11 million large in jump drives in the basement." Wow. So Abel asked me, shaking his head, saying, so what are you going to do about it? And I said, me, get my bag or die trying. Then it switches to Wanda, the big mama's perspective. And she's looking out of the window and it's steady snow is falling and it's starting out wet with big, fat, fluffy flakes. But it has been coming down steady for about 45 minutes. And it's getting heavier and heavier, leaving a white dust on the grass and trees. And then I hear my grandchildren yakking and bumbling up the basement stairs, smiling, remembering both of them tumbling to the house after some sketch misadventure. They were the smartest kids I had ever had, I've ever known, and I never had to bail them out of jail. But their parents, of course, I did. I think it wasn't that they were not doing some sketch stuff. I think they were just a whole lot smarter not to get caught. Then I see them and hear them tumbling through the basement door, half dragging some white bins with papers in it and plastic sleeves. And I ask them, what junk are y'all bringing up? Jackie drops one of the bins and walks over to the window seat in the that is completely comfortable and says, looking out at the white spectacle. And she says, that's really coming down. I stand next to her, wrapping my arms around her, giving her a warm side hug and says, yeah, maybe up to 5 inches, they say. That's what I think. And I'm very glad we had installed those expensive solar panels and we have the backup generators. Because I know y'all trying your best, but the power can is a little sketchy still on this part of town. And it absolutely means nothing that my daughter works for the city and is a liaison for the electric power company. The smartest thing she did was when we converted the property to solar and natural gas. Abel says, well, we've been downstairs and did you know, Grandma, that you had buried treasure in your basement? I turned towards him, raising my eyebrow and said, boy, I have no time or patience for your shit. And both he and my granddaughter laugh out loud. And then he says, I'm serious. Your goofy ass granddaughter's bawling and we didn't even know it. I roll my eyes and goes over to the table and digs into the tortilla chips and putting from the strawberry wrapped plastic dish and I top it with the ground steak and fresh pico and jalapeno. And Jackie brings over more dishes and she starts serving and I ask her, what is the hell is he talking about? And then I stop for a minute and start thinking that all of the restaurants, Taco Nuga, Meat's Club, Embargo 69 were the best things that we added to the restaurant chain of the family business. With the birria tacos, birria and street tacos and best tequila mixtures or accompaniments. And I started thinking that these were arranged through Jackie with the business loans. But when you look at the books, we still don't hold a bunch of debt because those business loans were paid off in short order. And I think back and I said, Abel comes over, fills up his plate with the meaty goodness and says, for years, when she was doing those math competitions and winning, they were paying her in bitcoins. And they've been all sitting, forgotten, in the basement, racking up bank. He then takes and devours stuffed street tacos before dipping them in the birria sauce in short order. I pause with a loaded tortilla chip before opening it, and then I place it down and I shake my head. And I look at my daughter, my granddaughter, and she swallows and wipes her mouth and she says, and goes on to explain that not only did the competition pay in bitcoins, for years she has been, when the company, the gaming company, went public, and she was no longer paid in shares of this company, Able Interrupting, which the company is worth now, the shares are worth like $638 a share. Go ahead. Jackie rolls her eyes. They start paying me in royalties back in 2012 and 2013 when the company went public. And then Abel takes another bite, crosses his legs, and says, and she's been squirreling away in an overseas bank for years. The only reason I started doing that in my big mom was because of so much trouble that Tennessee Federal gave me. They held the check, my first royalty payment, for like 30 days, trying to verify the funds. So I just decided that it was easier for me to create an offshore shell company and account and then put the money there without significant tax liability. And I could move the money as needed through the family's banking business without raising the eyes of the feds. Both Abel and myself look at her, shaking our heads. She also then shows me that they have been going in to direct deposit, now going on 9 years. And this is also how she made contributions to the family business. And then I look at the box of bank statements stamped with Credit Suisse. I mostly pay little attention to these amounts just to make sure pre and post transfer amounts. I get twice weekly royalty deposits from the company. And the amount of the latest statement shows only $1,800,000 because I gave some contributions to the show. But that should, as we continue to get money from the collaboration through the show, you'll start seeing that amount go back up. So it's all good. And then I ask her, so the business loans were, it's just scary how much of a scam it all is. You have to establish credit, but most of what is redlined here, so they try to make it so you can't get a credit history. But with this, we can get a business credit history, and we have all this collateral, and there's no penalty for paying these things off. It's just that they can't make as much money as possible. And we got to show income on the balance sheet in order to be able to look as a profitable business. And that's why Tennessee Federal and Sunrise are both tripping over themselves to loan us money, because they know we're good for it. She says, yes, them scamming MFers. They gave me so much of a hassle that I just decided to cut out them and just go with the bigger banks and keep my money overseas, because that's just, it just makes more sense and it's just a lot easier. And then we started talking about the Bitcoin, and then I asked her, after sitting back and taking it all in, so for all these years, you go to work on time, clock in, clock out, you help us run this family business, and you could all tell us to kick rocks. And I said, yeah, I could have, but what fun would that have been? And we all laugh. So now it's back from Jackie's perspective. Ethel, you gotta stop barking for real. Be quiet. Getting my nerd crew back together wasn't such a bad thing. Most of them had faded into oblivion, getting caught up in their own lives. Some were like me, still unmarried, and some of them in debt or at jobs locally. Phone glued to his hand, Kevin, as well as Boldly Go 66, Joel, were both managers at the local Apple store. Kevin was a greeter up front, and Joel ran the Genius Bar in the back. When I walk up and I see Kevin, he looks up, and then his whole face lights up, and he envelopes me in a bear hug. He then notifies Joe in the back, and he hands his iPad mini and headset to one of the other floor workers. And Goofy Joe comes skipping up to the front. All of us enveloping each other in hugs, and we decide to go to the food court and have some frozen yogurt with sprinkles. After we reminisce about our nerd lives, I bring up the games as well as the prizes. And then they basically said, man, I haven't thought about those in years. I had erased those or I lost most of mine as I moved around. And then I take one of the sleeves out of my pocket and I finger it because I knew I had a example of them. And then I said, when you remember, I was going recently looking for something else in the basement. And when I not only found some of those prizes, I also wondered why you guys are not listed on the founders board for Creative Inc. And they basically said, they tell me that they had sold their shares years ago. And then I said, well, if you had, when they went public, you would have still be getting royalties. They both pause with their spoons and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, like my grandmother had. I went on to tell them about how that was paying, as well as that I never sold my shares. And then I pull one of the sleeves of the Bitcoin prizes out of my pocket. And they finger it and say, yeah, these were so cool. And then they realize and they cock their head, realizing that that sign was from Bitcoin. And that, in fact, there were 247 more of them in the basement, or in the upstairs now, waiting for me. Joe swallows and says quietly, they closed at $48,000 per bit care, for bit. Are you freaking kidding me? We threw away $11 million in Bitcoin? Shit. But I think you can redeem yourself. Because I don't know of anyone else that remembers the calculations that we used to do and what we contributed to the blockchain, and that can become trusted farmers. I can't trust anybody on the dark web, but I need help creating a crypto farm. And it doesn't matter if I have all the stuff, if I can unlock the wealth. Kevin sits back and thinks and says, you're going to need a lot of computing power. Then I say, I know we need several mini CPUs. Joe laughs, saying, I know a guy. And just like that, Chatterbits and the first crypto farm in East Tennessee was born. Formed with the express purpose of mining cryptocurrency and headed and formulated by three black and brown crypto nerds. And in short order, I would be driving to re-up on our supply of premium gin for mine and grandmother's dirty martinis. I would go to Riverside Spirits and get some Bombay Sapphire. Right after I get back to the car, I look up and I notice an industrial warehouse on the other side of the newly built storage facility. This part of Chattanooga was highly industrialized until the collapse of manufacturing in the early 70s, and with the steady decline of a lot of the industry starting to come back with banking and other gig commerce. Many of these buildings have sat empty for years, now with some plans to convert them into housing. But I also knew a lot of these zone commercial products had the power lines and full fiber optic systems going directly out here, with plans to increasing the speed. Chattanooga has the reputation of being one of the most wired and having the most reliable broadband and internet systems in the country. So when I walked over, initially I didn't see the derelict, slightly faded for sale sign, but I knew this would be a great place to house the crypto mining outfit. Within 7 days of closing on the property, we would take our first delivery of 4,000 microprocessors that we would interconnect and wait for our gamer level fast MacBook Pros, custom made specifically for the creation of cryptocurrency. When they came to install the Tesla solar panels on the roof, covering the windows and small other small panels, generating the megawattage necessarily to possibly power an entire small town or village, this would be the necessary power we would need for the crypto mining, completely off-grid and not crashing an aging power grid. We would also have the T connection line to be able to participate in the exchange of the mined cryptocurrency and to exchange it for currency. I would also, how were we able to buy this property outright and purchase all of the necessary equipment? Well, I had some scratch, and also from our silent partner, K-Rod from Memphis. He knew the property was overpriced at $1.2 million, but it was also a way for us, we would split the cost, he and I, of the property itself. It was also a way for him to clean a little bit of dirty money. And he also was intrigued because how was I going to legitimately create and maintain cryptocurrency when he was boosting it back in the day? That's what actually added to his own personal wealth. He would say to me on one of our calls, "I can't believe you had all that Bitcoin just sitting down in the basement." Then I said, "Yeah, I had completely forgotten about it when I was looking down there looking for something for Abel." And that's how they paid us for winning those math and coding competitions back in the day. I had no idea that I was creating some of the original blockchain language. That is crazy. And now we've generating just the excitement of this putting back into circulation some of the original blockchain language. We sign up with a peer-to-peer brokerage account through Gemini. We get write-ups in Bloomberg and other couple of other respective business journals. Even though the farm and all the coding was quite lucrative within the first 30 days, and we would mine our first 20 bitcoins, the profitability of the business did allow Jake and Kevin to leave their day jobs at Apple. But I would continue to work for the city for one very reason. I was 4 years from being able to retire at 20, and take full benefits. Although I was a millionaire many times over, why waste all that time on my first love, which was being an engineer, and it would also give me enough time to upgrade and train other people for my eventual leaving of the city. I had reached the level of supervisor, which was completely unheard as an engineer, and with 25 people, all of us who liked our jobs and liked what we were doing. So being part of this lucrative business, I did get an unexpected call from one of the managers at Tennessee Federal. And she had evidently had read about me in Times Free Press article in the business section, she said, no, of all places, and realized that I was a long-term customer of the bank. And she said she had gone back almost 2 years and realized that I had been getting a direct deposit in the account for a number of all those years with no withdrawals, none. And so they were wondering what exactly was going on and how was I able to create and set up a crypto farm. Because it was obvious there was no other accounts outside of Big Mama's personal account and business accounts that had us as the signers. She asked me that instead of offering me, did I need anything else? And I was very offended by the direction and tone of the conversation. And I just basically flipped the Big Mama Wanda's bird switch. And I was like, what business is that of yours? And why do you care? If you were that interested of how I was making moves, but without using your bank, you are absolutely correct. When y'all held my first royalty check all those years ago for 30 days, under the guise of verifying the transaction, I knew that was code word for this has to be drug money and we're going to hold this as long as we can to allow the feds to investigate it. That's all that meant. So now you have to stand by as I am making millions of dollars in transaction, helping to build my family's business as my new businesses. I'm financing it by other banks, but not through you, because you can't believe some snot-nosed black girl with a nappy head could do anything besides getting and asking for handouts from the old white boy network. And literally, so I literally had to build my own network. I have to become fine and then become my own angel investor. And I'm okay with that. But, and just to put this into some perspective, my family has over $20 million just in real estate as of today. And we are able to secure any other multi-million dollar business endeavor in this economic environment, because we are able to back up any deal just based on real estate, other investments, and cash on hand. And if you do all those calculations, then you will figure out just how much you're missing out on finance charges and fees, because you wouldn't take the chance on me all those years ago. And I'm getting ready to tell you and give you the proverbial fuck off, because you're getting ready to miss out even more, because in the next 24 hours, I plan on withdrawing every last bit of money I have been putting in that account and closing it. And I will never do business with Tennessee Federal ever again. And thank you, Ms. Lundgren, for this wonderful and absolutely racist call. and you have a great day. Click. And just like that, I would hang up on the senior bank manager of Tennessee Federal. But that would also provoke a call from the president and the VP of Tennessee Federal's assistants to set up a meet with me before I would pull the trigger on closing my account. The shocking thing was the president, the vice president was actually it was the vice president as well as the director of communications and loss mitigations. We had all graduated from Howard High School. And the president would speak first, and he says, when we were notified of this horrible conversation between you and this bank manager, I extend my deepest apologies on behalf of the bank and the board. And then grandmother recognized him because they had graduated from high. He was in the same class. Grandmother would go on to get her GED, but he was in the class that she should have graduated from. So the meeting became a class reunion of sorts because grandma was there. K-Rod joined us from an undisclosed location as well. And also grandmother's boyfriend was there. And he would go on to say, it just proves that you could be on the job for 20, 25 years, but it still doesn't mean that you're not stupid. And then grandmom says, Marvin, it's all good. I mean, you would think being in Chattanooga all these years, but she has been used to speaking to us Black folks and looking at us the same way as her mom did, as her mom did. And I guess she thinks she was going to bring all of that to dealing with us, but she does not know how to deal with any person of color. It's obvious. He says, well, she won't learn it here. She absolutely was fired after that recording was listened to. And we use it in a training session on what not to do. And she basically lost the point of the whole outreach to long-term customers. It was supposed to be a way for us to figure out what more of service we could be and what kind of offerings could we give y'all. But it became something completely negative. If she had looked into the history of your account and all of the, and used the business to basically say, you know, this is the kind of client we need to be expanding services for. How can we be of service to this, to y'all? And it just appeared that this white dude was admitting the fallacy and admitting to the racism that still was inherent in the financial sector. But he wasn't crazy. He knew they had to do the work so all of us could benefit from what was going to go on. That's when the VP spoke up and he says, the bank owes you because of our own ignorance and not being helpful to you. When it benefits you, it benefits us all. We need to be in the business of gaining and securing business from a financial standpoint, helping you increase your business. There's been so many missed opportunities from a financial standpoint, and also just from a community standpoint. How can we create more business right here in the Tennessee Valley? Wanda, that's just double speak for how can y'all get the bag too? And that's okay, because the first thing is, y'all did the right thing. You fired that manager for just being stupid. And you're using this as a cautionary tale for training for your other personnel. And you want to know, this is how you treat other customers, potential customers like us. But I wonder just how many other people were treated just like we were and have been treated just as badly as we were. Professor takes a deep breath and says, well, our internal investigation states that 25 other customers were treated similarly with this negative bullcrap and basic racist language. We found that the majority of the black, brown, and female customers were never offered successful loans, and if they did get a loan, it was generally higher at a higher rate than our white customers. We found most of our principal customers, like both of you guys, were never offered products with higher yields, nor other benefits of wealth management services, etc. But we have to right that wrong. We're also very open to your own suggestions of means and mechanisms that we can keep you here and work with us and partner with us in future endeavors so we can prove and be given the opportunity to completely right this. But as Wanda so eloquently said, all of us can get our bag. And from a technical standpoint, that cryptocurrency farm is going to be the next biggest thing. And that's why I added, you are correct. In order to sustain it, we're going to need lines of credit to make capital improvements and just to be able to upgrade and alter the technology to be able to keep up with the demands of the system. How much do you need? We're going to need the line to be anywhere between 2 to 5 million. We'll secure it in assets from the cryptocurrency and the family business, if that's okay. And that's when the VP shakes his head and says, we can make that happen within the next couple of hours. And we're also going to use a collaborative of creatives locally and from Southside. And we're also going to need you to also take a look at what we know to be redlining of some of the real estate also down there. We got to create a collaborative for black and brown businesses to be able to not only mine their own wealth, but also to use it and the Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce, to basically highlight how we're succeeding in these economic times. And if there's an issue with supply chain, you create your own supply. You know what I mean? They both look at each other and says, this is going to be the beginning of some great collaboration between us and your team. And we look forward and wanting to move forward. And we'll get all of the paper set up. Just give me a few minutes. I just sent the text to legal, who's also looking over the paperwork, and to my assistant, and we'll get back to you. If you guys just want to wait here, we're going to bring in some Danish and some coffee if you guys have a few minutes. We all stand up, shake hands. We thank you, and it was great meeting and being reconnected with the vice president, because we went to Scott and seen him since we had graduated. But also, Vance and Grandma adding the vice president to their spades game, which I thought was hysterical. We all would schedule a next meeting for the next week. We did not know this would be the initial meet of the two newest board members to Tennessee Federal, with Big Mom and myself taking those seats when they were created on our behalf. This would lead to Tennessee Federal being one of several banks footing the bill for the establishment of the East Tennessee Hedge Fund with diversified holdings to include cryptocurrency. The unintended positive consequence for that racist bank manager's conversation with me would lead to the increasing of the financial holdings, not just of Tennessee Federal, but other Black and Brown people similar to us. We would tell this story multiple times in the trades, and also the technology that was required to be created and to be bought in and upgraded to be able to handle this type of endeavor. Little teaser for part six, the Chattanooga Consumer Extravaganza. I'm going to start thinking about that and probably outline it in the next couple of days. And hopefully I'll have something to read in short order on next week's podcast. I used to scoff at people making that statement, be kind, maybe because of its simplicity or maybe because it sounded more like an admonishment than that I was being everything but kind. But when I started investigating it for myself, I realized that I was confusing politeness with kindness. Politeness is a fake, superficial manner in which you're required to have no investment and no self-reflection. But being kind is an adjective. It's an action. If you're kind to yourself first, it's like exercise memory. You will continue and to be kind to others. Let that sit with you for a while. I'm trying to be kind to myself. I'll be kind to others. Very simple. It's repeatable. Lean into the spirit of the new year by counting your blessings, giving to others, and spreading happiness. I know I will. It is the beginning of a new year. So again, be kind to your mind and others. Give love to receive love. And I think that's an awesome way to conclude any show. The only thing I have to be sad about this year, or right now, is there's not enough hours in the day to listen to music, to read all the books I want to read, and watch all the streaming movies, etc., that I want to watch. But help a sister out. Click on my Dale's Angels Inc. blog. The link is actually in the notes to get my thoughts daily that I will compile into hopefully continuing to create great things. Also, navigate to Chatterbooks to get all the BAM books and other authors like Randall Keenan, who I didn't know passed away in 2020, and is his namesake, Keenansville, North Carolina, is named after his white relatives, as well as navigate to the online bookstore, pick up some merch, use my TenFro promo code on Writer's Block Coffee or TenFro Got Jokes on shipabagofbooks.com. And as always, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it. And thank you for listening.